This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I hope everybody had a great Masters weekend. Hope you enjoyed it as much as Carl and I. Becky, by the way, shout out to the wife. She really brought out all the stops. We had the pimento cheese sandwiches, a little chicken salad, and it was quite tasty. And then we had the neighbors over, and it's funny because it was just watching you were talking about earlier when Rory lays up on Amen Corner on 13 and then hits it in Rays Creek. And
yeah.
All the guys that I play golf with are like, oh, what the, geez, if you're going to lay up, don't do that. I mean, every guy's like really screaming at the television.
I think he got in his head because he had been so aggressive. He's crushing the driver.
Right, stay with it.
And he's going for these greens, and all of a sudden, I'm going to play smart. Which wasn't the bad play, but what happened was, Mike, you take something off your game. That was just a terrible swing. Like, and the crazy thing is, guys, you think the pros don't screw up like you do when you're out there playing? That was a typical moment of an 85-yard shot, and you hit the wedge in the water. So, yeah, man, that was bananas. But you know what? Shout out, Becky. So you had the Masters menu.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect day, too. I mean, just like this morning, woke up, blue skies. Great day today, man. Good juju. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Now, a little bit of a not so much controversy. I guess controversy is in the eye or the ear of the beholder. They asked Bryson DeChambeau, did you talk to Rory? And Bryson, by now, you've heard the soundbite. We played it. Now he said no. Didn't say a word. Till the end where he said congratulations and shook his hand. That's fine. Now a lot of folks are saying, well, why is Rory doing that? And a lot of folks say, well, Rory's trying to be in the zone. And also, if you don't know golf, Rory doesn't really like Bryson DeChambeau. Just, you know, just like there's some guys you don't laugh at the same jokes from different parts of the golf jungle. But Rory, not a fan of LIV Golf, was outspoken about it. He and Bryson are just, they're not going to be boys. So then we find out earlier in the, and if you didn't see this, you see this, Carl, at the practice tee? You got Bryson. Yeah, and I tried to get the audio. Oren and I were trying to clean it up, but it's too muffled.
Okay.
But basically, it's off mic, and it's Bryson next to Rory, and they're warming up. And then Bryson basically jokes and says, hey, man, Rory choked the U.S. Open away. Now, you could say one way of looking at it as well, Bryson saying he's actually complimenting if he didn't win it. I didn't win this tournament back at Pinehurst. If Rory choked it away, a lot of folks are saying, no, that doesn't really wash. But Rory laughed at it in front of the cameras that were there at the practice tee. But a lot of folks are saying just kind of added more fuel to Rory's fire. Now, granted, Rory still nearly choked it away, but I got no problem with him not being all buddy-buddy with Bryson DeChambeau.
No, listen, it's good for golf. We need some rivalries. You remember when Brooksy and Bryson were going at it?
They don't like each other.
It became a big deal, and I loved it. And Brooksy had no issues in saying things, you know, about Bryson. Here's the deal, though. We're not talking about Bryson crumbling under the weight of the moment because Rory ended up having moments of brilliance and ended up winning this tournament. But let's be honest, his distance control, his iron play sucked.
Right.
And when he had the lead and an opportunity to crush Rory, he did not take advantage of it. So we're not talking about that today, about how he crumbled under the weight of the moment and how all of a sudden the tables turned because of the brilliance of Rory. And that was the story. Everybody knew it going in. And so once it played out, it becomes secondary. But his short game, his putting was crap. We're talking about Bryson DeChambeau. So, Mike, he doesn't have a whole lot to say except, hey, I'll be back next year, which he will. And again, he admitted, you know, to some injury, and he's not 100%. But at the end of the day, you didn't play like a champ, bro.
No, man. And again, Rory gave it to you. He double bogeys the first hole. So now you're off and running if you're Bryson DeChambeau. And DeChambeau couldn't really take advantage of it. He birdied number two, and then he bogeys three and four.
Yep.
So everything you just said, advantage goes out the window for DeChambeau. The other thing is, and this is more about a commentary on where we are, and again, maybe it's a little generational. It is what it is. But so many people going, well, why wouldn't Rory talk to him? Because he's trying to get in the freaking kill zone. Okay? This isn't the NBA where guys all get done, the game's over, and then
Let's exchange clubs. Let's exchange clubs. Yeah.
I mean, guys, I mean, it's one thing to hug. I mean, have a little competition. That's what's kind of refreshing. Watching, you know, Celtic City over Boston and how much, you know, granted, the Lakers, it wasn't just the Lakers. The Celtics hated the Sixers. They had a great rivalry with them and everybody else. And, of course, everybody hated Detroit. But, I mean, this whole thing that everyone's got to be like, oh, my God, I love you, man. Dap up, dap up, dap up. Just get, you know, sometimes it's cool to just be a pro. You know, Ben Hogan didn't talk to anybody. Tiger wasn't going to sit there and get chatty Cathy with you if he didn't want to talk about it. You talked about it. Even Rocco Mediate. You know, Tiger was on 08? One leg at La Jolla, and he's just trying to Torrey Pines, and he's just trying to get around. He's not going to sit there and chat him up.
Yeah.
That's to me, that's cool. There's nothing wrong. I guess what I'm saying is you got so many people on social media going, what's wrong about that?
There was sportsmanship. They shook hands before the round started, before they tee off and they get introduced, and at the end. There was sportsmanship. It's not like Bryson walked off the 18th and was like, screw this. But I also just think, Mike, you know, he tried to DeChambeau, and I think this was strategy. You guys saw it, right? Rory, they take him to the green or to the first tee, and Bryson comes second. But he's using that crowd to get everybody amped up because there was a portion of the crowd that, hey, they're digging it. And he's slapping, you know, letting people slap his arms, and he's getting into it, sort of like how he came off on Saturday, and everybody was all amped up. But he was trying to use that as energy to motivate him and also, I think, kind of tick Rory off.
And that's cool. Like I said, I mean, I like DeChambeau when it's working. When it's not working, all the ticks and everything, as I said, it's like Phil Mickelson on steroids in the spectrum because he just looks ridiculous sometimes. I mean, you say, how do you generate any feel with your arms so rigid? But that's his style. Rory wins $4.2 million for the effort. Speaking of money, all right, buddy, bye. Tomorrow is tax day. At least it used to be. A couple of states, Carl, get a reprieve. By the way, your tax is all done?
My people better have them done.
Okay. I mean, my good friend HR and his buddies at Block got mine done.
They better have them done.
IRS filing deadline is tomorrow, but there's a couple of states that get extra time because we had natural disasters.
Mm.
That includes Alabama, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Because we had the storms in the northern part of the state and other issues that came around Georgia.
So that's the entire state?
We get till May 1st. Yes, all of Georgia.
Very nice.
I did not know that. This is from Newsweek. So the tax deadline extended to May 1st. Check with your tax guy. But this is what Newsweek is reporting. They're generally pretty accurate.
That's interesting. And you know what? It should be. I mean, there's stuff that happens throughout the course of the year. And I hate to say this. Like, if you are dealing with home issues or you don't have a house, Mike, and it got destroyed – yeah, I'm worried about my taxes. Like, seriously, there should be some reprieve there. So that's good to hear. I did not know that.
Hey, man, I don't know if you saw this on TV today. I was talking to Day-Day, who's producing our show now, and we're watching ESPN, and it was NFL Live, and they had the Savannah Bananas in ESPN studio up in Bristol.
For what?
To promote more of the Savannah Bananas, and apparently ESPN is going to be broadcasting Savannah Banana games. Now, they want to get out of the business with Major League Baseball, but the Savannah Bananas have become such a phenomenon. ESPN apparently is going to be showing some of those games. Matter of fact, the next up for them is going to be up in Death Valley. I saw a video of Clemson getting prepared for the Bananas coming up there to Death Valley.
Listen, this is the modern-day Globetrotters, right? That's what this is, in my opinion. And the Globetrotters have lasted a very long time. They traveled the world, Mike. They entertained a lot of folks. And I don't have any issues with this. I know they were just at Truist Park for like 3 days, and a lot of folks went. My neighbors, a lot of folks I talked to, great. I don't have an issue with it. I just think if you're going to put it on television now consistently, and I don't know how often we're talking about, it will wear out because the stunts are the same, right? The dances are the same. All the things they do, the umpires, and it's all fun. But eventually, like, you're like, all right, I saw this 6 times already. If you go see them live, it's different, and you feel like you're getting a show.
As a kid, it was still kind of neat. Are you going to get dunked with a bucket of water, or will it be confetti? And then you didn't realize they had a plant in the stands, and he got the water. But it was still fun when you were 10. Hey, man. Belichick, he's really digging his vibe with his young lady friend of his.
She's got him caught up, Mike.
Jordan Hudson. Some are saying the coach is a little whipped.
A little?
Well, some would say a lot. Apparently, she was at practice wearing a blue and black overcoat or jacket tied at the hip. But what's that song? I like a girl in a short skirt and a long jacket. Yeah, wearing some nice boots. Kind of like reminiscent of like a go-go girl from back in the 60s.
Are you insinuating that she had this on and maybe there was nothing else?
No. She's got a snakeskin, a printed miniskirt, and a matching trench coat.
Okay.
But it was kind of funny to see her prancing. I'm not going to say prancing. Prancing around the practice. But she was walking around the practice field, and there's old Mumbles behind her. But Jordan Hudson drew a lot of attention at Tar Heels spring practice.
Well, you know what this is called, right? Tease.
Yeah.
That's what that's called. Coach, your girlfriend's here. I see her. Let's lock in.
Now, last month we found out, speaking of whipped, it was reported that Belichick has requested that his girlfriend, Miss Hudson, be copied on emails sent his way.
Oh, wow.
According to emails uncovered by Axios and Assembly as part of a story about UNC's budget. There was that big Athletic article and the ESPN article that came out last month about him. Belichick, just loving his time, and good for him, obviously. She's, 48 years his junior?
Yeah.
But, man, she really isn't.
She reads more than
But here's
he
the thing. Is she going to Yoko Ono North Carolina? Is she going to be the Yoko of this deal? Because, I mean, what does she need to be copying on the emails?
Like I said, Mike, she's got this brother hooked.
Don't you have to be good to be Yoko'd?
Yeah, I mean, well, John Lennon was pretty good.
So if they're bad, it's not a Yoko.
I don't know what the term is for.
No, I mean, like, the Beatles were good until Yoko Ono broke them up, despite what her stupid biography just said, because that's her story, and she's sticking to it. And everyone knows that she ruined the Beatles, Carl, and I'll die on that hill. I'll die on that hill. And now, I don't care. I want to see Carolina lose every stinking game. The way Belichick likes to use his girl as a prop to troll Falcon fans with 28-3.
Now, that's a problem.
Because Belichick didn't get hired here in Atlanta by Mr. Blank.
Yeah, that is true. I agree with that aspect. But listen, I don't know, Mike. I feel like she is at this point now where she's like, Bill, you'll do what I say.
It sure sounds like it.
And he's like, okay, I need to be in on the emails. You need to be in on the emails. I don't know what's going on there.
And make sure that sure that she gets all in on my emails. She sees it on everything. She's been a real pain in the ass on this one.
Should we get a headset and be in the booth at some point,
too?
Well,
it's going that way.
I mean, like, do we even see a controversy of player Belichick and girlfriend?
That would be something.
Wouldn't that be something
that
right there?
That would be something. But my point is, guys, she's showing up at a Belichick practice?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, what else is she going to do? Wait for Big Daddy to come home?
Well, normally, yes. But I'm going to show up dressed like that, Mike?
Hey,
come
man.
On.
Well, yeah, it's a free country, baby. By the way, back in February, she had
no distractions.
Happy meat-tiversary. Bill Belichick, cheers. It was the year anniversary, commemorating the fourth meat-versary with Belichick 4 years ago. It's crazy. They've been actually palling around now.
So he's been, never mind.
Well, he met first on the plane, and then eventually it led to dating. And then
you know where I was going with that.
You know
you?
That.
I'm sorry.
Hey, man. On to another story.
Four years.
Hey, by the way, I got to preface this so I don't get an email. I don't want to get nasty grams. This is not a political story. This just happened today in Washington.
Okay.
Ohio State was at the White House, and the vice president dropped the trophy. J.D. Vance attended Ohio State, if you know from Hillbilly Elegy, his book. And they were presented with Ryan Day and the staff. And apparently, you know, you always see that thing. It looks like it's one piece. Apparently, it sits into a cradle. Eventually, luckily, players did grab it, so nothing hit the ground.
The Dr. Pepper trophy?
Yes. Well, whatever this is, the base hit the ground.
Okay.
But the actual cylindrical piece, the gold and silver, did not hit the ground. But needless to say, there were a lot of laughs. And, like, you know, so keep J.D. Vance away from the friggin' trophy, apparently.
That's funny. That's funny. Was the president wasn't there?
Again, I'm going to stay in my lane, Carl.
I didn't know. I haven't seen it.
He was there, but because he was an Ohio State alum, I presume that J.D. Vance wanted to handle the trophy,
gotcha.
Get his hands on it.
Okay.
It's kind of a Dan Quayle, George Bush moment or Gerald Ford moment.
It really is.
Yes, my bad. Again, but that's why I'm staying in my lane, lest someone get, you know, because all you have to do is mention the vice president and people are just going to go bananas, which is a shame. Hey, man, one more story for you over the weekend. You and I were joking around, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks back. Was it last week? Because we were driving so much on the road. Yeah, it was the broadcast on Wednesday when we were at Twin Peaks, and I was talking about, you know, people driving slow in the left-hand lane. And it was pretty funny. I was at the gym today. I want to give a shout-out to Gerald. He's retired APD. And he said that, you know, one time he was driving home from work, and he said, he can talk about this now. He's off. He's retired. But he was like, he was so very tempted to light up this car and pull them over for going too slow, which technically you can do in this state of Georgia.
Yes, you can.
Just no one ever does it. And I would say to GSP and Fulton and APD, hey, you know, maybe if we start pulling people over, driving slow in the left-hand lane, you won't have, okay, people like, or maybe me, that are going to go all the way, Carl, to the right-hand lane, and then all of a sudden everyone starts speeding up, and that creates more accidents because people get frustrated and they start doing stupid stuff that's high risk to try to close a gap that maybe not there to pass the idiot in the left-hand lane, slowing up a mile and a half of traffic. But enough about my drive home.
The problem, though, Mike, is when you see a guy pulled over, you automatically assume he was speeding
right.
Not going too slow.
Well, I can tell you this. If he's in a Buick, he wasn't arrested for speeding. Or a Tesla, for that matter. There's Guy Talk. Welcome, Day-Day, into the fold as our new executive producer, the brains of the operation.